So before we get started, you'll see there's just a sermon notes here in our announcement portion of our bulletin. So if you want to put notes down, whatever, feel free there. You know, one of the greatest joys when I was around the ages of 8 and 14 years old, between that age group, was watching professional wrestling. I was a big fan. And you may now know it as the WWE, but back then it was the WWF. There was Saturday night's main event. It came on right after Saturday Night Live. And I would watch wrestling with that. And my great aunt, who was 68 years old at the time, turned me on to wrestling. I was at her house hanging out when I would stay there for a week at a time during the summer. And she said, "Danny, there's wrestling coming on." And I was like, "Okay." And so we watched it, and I was awestruck, and that was it for me. I loved the over-the-top personalities, the larger-than-life drama, the comedy, the wrestlers who would jump off the top turnbuckle onto other people. I especially enjoyed the entrance of the wrestlers as they arrived in the ring. Each wrestler had their own theme music. They had their own flair. And my favorite wrestler of that generation was a man with 24-inch pythons named Hulk Hogan. He's one of the most iconic wrestlers of all time. And he had this theme song. Ever a wrestler. And with this physique, don't let the robe fool you. I definitely could be. I'd flex for you, but my robe would rip. So I don't want to have to buy another one. You know, I was actually talking to Mayor Glenn Jacobs one day, and he was saying, "Hey, can you tell me all your secrets?" And I said, "No, they're classified." So anyway, this would be my theme song if I was a wrestler. Y'all don't believe it. Buy it, do you? That's all right. The cool thing about wrestling is that there are only two types of characters. There's either a face or a heel. A face is the good guy that everyone wants to cheer for. Hulk Hogan, for most of his career, was a face that everybody wanted to cheer for. And a heel is the guy that everyone hates. They love to hate him. And one of the most popular heels to this day is a guy named the Iron Sheik. He was a guy who was a character. His character was against America, and so people would chant, "USA, USA," every time, and he gets so mad and start telling them to be quiet. I love wrestling so much that one of my friends and I would wrestle. We would make our own storylines up. I even had one of the championship belts. This morning, we see a real live wrestling match between God and Jacob. In one corner is Jacob. He's the original heel. After all, he grabbed the heel of his brother as his mom was delivering him. And then he's a cheater and a liar, as his name Jacob suggests. If Jacob had entrance music to the ring, his song would be "Would I Lie to You?" He's the ultimate heel in Scripture. When your name means liar and you live up to your name, not much else has to be said about you. In the opposite corner, We have the ultimate face, God the Father. He's created all music. He's created all wrestlers, all people. He's never lost any match. He has overmatched any and every opponent he's ever faced. The entrance music for God, in my humble opinion, would be this. Opponents, Jacob and God, they're face to face. God in one corner, Jacob's in the other. The match, this match, would be the last match in which Jacob would use his ring name, Jacob. This wrestling match would also change Jacob. He would never be the same cheating, swindling manipulator again. And you can look in this text that we read. Jacob had two wives. I mean, that is not okay in God's eyes, yet he still had that. And so he had cheated. He had swindled his whole life. But things would change. Point one, God often starts with a crisis. As we look at this wrestling match, we see Jacob is there, and he sends them across the stream, his wives, his kids, everything. He's by himself. And then what does it say? Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Jacob was in this crisis, this wrestling match with God. And he wasn't giving up in the fight. Now the point of wrestling is what? Or wrestling, maybe, right? You either knock your opponent out so you can pin him with a three count. You have him in a submission hold where he says, I give up, ring the bell. Or you knock him out of the ring where he doesn't get back in the ring within a 10 count. That's how you beat your opponent. And Jacob's in the struggle of his life with God the Father, the creator of the world. Have you ever struggled with something or someone until you're in despair? Until you realize you're in a no-win situation, that you're in a crisis situation? And no matter which way you go or you think you need to go, it doesn't appear there's a good way out, that you're in the fight of your life. Maybe you've wrestled with stuff that Scripture says. Like you know what Jesus says, but you struggle with it. Right? This is, Jacob is wrestling. He struggled. And in the text, it seems like he's struggling all night in this wrestling match. This is a long wrestling match and fight with God. So what are you wrestling with this week? You're struggling and wrestling, I know, with something. And it's made you tired. Maybe you yourself are sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're struggling with a relationship. It's strained. Maybe even worse yet, it just feels like it's non-existent. With family, with spouse, with kids. What if I told you God has allowed this situation in your life? Have you ever thought about the fact that God could have allowed this situation in your life? Whatever crisis, whatever wrestling that you're dealing with, to perhaps get your attention? He's trying to get your attention. He's wanting you to lean on him. You know this saying, like, God doesn't give you any more than you can bear. It's not true. He gives you things that you can't bear, so you'll actually lean on him, that you'll see that he's in your corner. And hey, I realize sometimes it seems like, man, God's not in my corner. He feels like he's the opponent. He feels like he's on the other side. But he's in your corner. He's for you. Maybe it's the only way he can get your attention. Are you in a crisis this morning? Congratulations. God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to let you know, I'm for you, I love you. Don't fight me. He wants to work in your life. You know, second point is Jacob wrestled. And we see how he wrestled all night with God. He didn't give up. And notice, God's not winning this wrestling match. It says very clearly in Scripture, he did not prevail against Jacob. So God put Jacob's hip out of joint. This kind of feels like in a wrestling match where the guy is kind of losing and he like cheats, like almost like he just pokes the other guy in the eye to slow him down. It's what it feels like. Like God kind of went, oh, I'm not going to win. Jacob, oh, you got a problem with your hip now. Sorry. And again, hey, if you got this, remind you, hey, God's with me. He's got me. And I've got to lean on him and rely on him. This wrestling match was all night. Sometimes in our wrestling matches, they're very quick. It's like, man, somebody does the knockout pouch punch, 1, 2, 3, match over, struggle over, wrestling over. But a lot of times, the wrestling is a long, drawn-out process. That's how God works. Most of the time, at least in my experience, a lot of times the wrestling is long. For example, maybe you're having marriage issues. You didn't get in those issues overnight, and you're not going to get through them overnight. But instead, over time, peeling off layer by layer, reconciliation can happen. Another example, if you, in your mind, are overweight or out of shape, you didn't get there by just eating 1 gallon of ice cream, right? In one sitting. The extra 10, 20, or 50 pounds developed over time with lack of exercise and too many trips to the pizza, steak, or Chinese buffets. That's the way it works. What took time to become a problem will take some time to solve as a problem. It doesn't happen overnight. It took time to get in the mess. It's going to take time to get out of the mess. You got to stay the course. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. We can't give up. We got to stay in the fight, knowing that God's on our side. Point three, Jacob confessed. This is important. In verse 27, we see God asking Jacob, hey, what's your name? He says, Jacob. Now, God knew Jacob's name. He knows all of his children's names. He doesn't need to ask you, Jacob, or anyone else what your name is, because God knew your name before you knew your name. God was about to give Jacob a new name. In biblical times, the name you're given was a descriptor of your character. And it defined you. Well, Jacob meant cheater, and it definitely defined him. And when God asked his name, Jacob's essentially telling God, his name is cheater, and he's confessing. Yeah, my name's cheater, and that's who I am. It was a reminder of all the people he'd hurt, all the heartbreak he had caused. Jacob's admitting to who and what he was. So here's a question for you. If you were named for your greatest character flaw, what would your name be? You don't say it out loud. But would it be temper? I can't keep a lid on it. Lust? Unreliable? Late? Guilt? Worrier? Doubter? Pessimist? Greedy? What would your name be? You see, by God asking Jacob what his name was, he was forced to admit, I'm a cheater. I've got to confess, Lord, that's who I am. Can Jacob change this weakness about himself? He's been a cheater his entire life. Even if he was trying to fix it, it doesn't appear he had much luck. The only one that can fix our character flaws is not us, but Jesus, but Christ himself. Like Jacob, we confess how we're broken, and the beauty is Jesus takes care of it. Jesus knows what we struggle with in life. We don't tell him, hey, Jesus, I can't control my mouth, my actions, or my appetite. And he says, oh, really? I was not aware. Thank you for letting me know that. I completely never saw that coming. Like, that's not what Jesus says. He's like, yeah, it's about time you admit it. I already saw it. He already knows. He wants you to confess and be real with him about what you struggle with. We have to own our sin and our junk. And that's not something that's very popular in our world. Like, actually owning what you do wrong. Because a lot of times we just love to blame everybody else. I mean, I saw them taking the goalpost, and so I just I was on top of it. I don't know what happened, and they were carrying me down the river, and I didn't know what else to do, so I just yelled and screamed, "Have a great time!" And that was it, officer. Like, I mean, that's just what we do. But we're called to be countercultural. As followers of Christ, we're called to own the things that we do wrong. We're called to own our sin. And why? Well, that's what Jesus calls us to do in his word. And that's who we are as followers of Jesus, and it's definitely who we are at Grace Lutheran Church. And that's who we're going to be because we stand on the foundation of God's word, regardless what that cost in the world. That's what we're to do. Point number four, God blessed Jacob, and he changed his name. Notice once Jacob confesses his sin, he owns his sin. He says, God, this is who I am. God blesses him and changes him. He renamed Jacob Israel. And remember, Jacob, cheater, liar, and now God's calling him Israel, which means prince or the one who wrestles with God and wins. That's his new name. God made Jacob into whom God wanted Jacob to be. God saw the potential of Jacob under all of the veneer of that liar and schemer. He still used him. Isn't that awesome? I mean, because that shows you and I that God can use us as well. In spite of our sin, in spite of our flaws. And from that moment, Jacob was changed. You know, there's one other wrestling match in Scripture. It's between the devil and Jesus. And the devil does some damage to Jesus. And for a while, it looks like the devil has won. Because the devil is standing there after the battle, and he's got a little bit of a bruising, he's got a little bit of marks, he's hurt a little bit, but he's standing and he's flaunting the fact that his opponent is sitting there, hanging there on a cross. He's bloodied. He's beaten. I mean, it looks like the devil has won the battle and war, like that it's over. I mean, the devil can walk out of the auditorium with his theme music going on, victorious. And it looks like it's over. Until 3 days later, a tomb opens up, and Jesus marches out to the eye of the tiger. And he's victorious, once and for all. The devil is defeated because the devil cannot kill Jesus because he died and rose for our sins. And when Jesus did that and he won that battle and he won that war, you and I have new names, sons and daughters of Christ. And regardless of what you wrestle or struggle with, when you confess and you say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, you're forgiven. You're renewed. You're restored. The battle is won. And Jesus is coming back once again, ultimately, once and for all, to just say, devil, you have lost. You are done. I am victorious. And my people are too. And so here and now, today, you and I live as victors because of Christ. And we'll experience the full victory when we have eternal life forever with Jesus. But even today, we are victorious because of Christ. Not because UT wins or anybody else wins, but because Jesus wins, you and I do too. Amen?
Amen.
Please rise.